Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question. Thank you. Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Hawn, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Oh, it is always a delight to have Coach Wannstedt here in studio, and we should let all of our listeners know that Dave is now on Twitter. David, he is.
Yes, I know.
You can follow him at Coach Wannstedt. I cannot believe
that's great.
Well, can I ask?
Why open yourself up to that?
Well,
Dave?
Because I don't respond to anything, and I don't really have, so don't expect any type of response.
Nice,
you know. I've got good PR people with Brian Harlan and his team.
I can't wait for your
That's
Instagram page.
What's that?
Next, Dave. Next. That's what's next.
Yeah,
that's
no,
next.
Don't worry. I'll be something for my grandkids. All right, let's talk. Come on, let's get going.
Yeah, all right, so let's start.
When are we going to get to Denver? I mean,
Let's start with last night.
Okay.
We can talk about and revisit last Thursday night if you wish, but in the context last night.
Let me say one thing about last Thursday night.
Okay.
Keep in mind, all of our listeners out there, in the first week of the season last year, Fitzmagic and the Tampa Bay Bucks went to New Orleans and lit the Saints up.
Yeah.
And we know how that ended. So let's just calm down a minute. Okay.
Before we get to David moving forward to Denver.
Yes.
Are you saying that we may be overreacting to what we saw from the Bears offense on week one?
I am. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm not arguing.
Because there's no newness there. I mean, the coaches are the same. The players they're basically the same, except I think they're going to be better, more talented, healthier. And, you know, my concern would have been special teams or defense, not because of what Chuck Pagano has or the talent there, but, you know, a new coordinator making different calls in different situations. How's this going to play out? That's what I was focused on. It was disappointing on offense on all levels. There's no question about that. But I really believe that they'll get it solved. I mean,
always overreact to week one, and that's what I was going to get at, is that the reason that you may be looking at there's some optimism is because of your week two opponent. I do think the Broncos looked last night that they were maybe more limited than you anticipated. Yeah, they're going to be in Denver. Yes, they're going to be at home. But you have a really good opportunity if you're the Bears to come out of a game that you feel like you didn't play up to your capabilities, offensively especially, and you can go on the road and get a victory. And then if you come home from Denver 1-1, it doesn't look as bleak as it might today.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's, you know, the whole thing about Denver, Vic Fangio being out there, the scariest thing about Denver to me is Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco played good yesterday, guys. I mean, he was 21 of 31. You know what I mean? I mean, he just happened to, they were almost 50% in third down. So they played good enough, in my opinion, to win. The problem was that Oakland, Derek Carr was out of his mind. I mean, they converted 80% of third downs. I mean, he was off
80%.
The chart. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was almost 80%. I mean, Oakland was 3 of 4 in the red zone. Denver was 1 for 4. The rest of the stats were about the same. It was almost like the Green Bay Bears game. You know, when you look at those stats, I mean, the one turnover, but really rushing yards, passing yards, all that stuff was a push.
The Bears' problems on third down in that game were because they were at third and long, third and 10.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to break down those stats and see, because it seemed to me, just watching the game, that Denver was in bad third downs. They weren't in makeable third downs. And obviously, you gotta do your work on first and second down to get into a makeable third down. And they were doing a lot more of that for Oakland. It seemed like they were moving the ball a lot better. I didn't realize 80%. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was almost 80%. And you know, the thing about when you get in long yardage situations, it's everyone wants to say, well, you're not running the ball successfully on first down. That can be part of it. But in the Bears' case, where they have 10 penalties, I think, in the game. I don't have it in front of me now. I think they had 10 penalties. And a lot of those,
107 penalty yards, which is a touchdown, basically.
Even
right?
We know how critical a holding or pass interference is. You know, I mean, that usually means that you're going to punch. You're not going to get out of that situation. But a five-yard penalty, Don Shula used to say it. I remember when I was working for him for those 7 weeks and something happened in a meet, and he says, guys, understand there's no such thing as a small penalty. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, first and 15 is a big difference than first and 10.
Right.
Somebody jumps
off
side. You don't get a play in. I mean, how many times, you know what I mean, the mechanics, you know, delay of games. I mean, stuff like that. It when you look back on, I used to as a head coach, I mean, that stalls drives, and that puts you behind the eight ball in third down.
Now, when you look at the Bears on Thursday night against the Packers, I think it's unforgivable, almost inexcusable at least, that Matt Nagy called only 15 running plays out of 65 snaps. That said, when you turn on the tape, and I know that you have, and you look at that offensive line, they really did not have a good night. You can say what you want about Mitch. You can say what you want about the execution of the passing game. But the offensive line, they weren't moving the pile. They weren't moving downhill. They weren't opening lanes. And maybe that contributed to the reluctance to establish the run. Is that fixable?
You know what? Jimmy Johnson and I were talking about that Sunday. And you know what? And he said, Dave, he says, you know, everybody talks about the quarterbacks not playing in the preseason and this and that. He said, you know, I'm watching that game. And he says, both those teams, he says, to me, you know who suffers more than anybody that needs full? I mean, you might as well not practice with some of these linemen if you don't
O-line.
Have pads on.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know what I mean? I thought the same thing.
They were terrible on the O-line.
And my first reaction, when he put Patterson in, when they don't make the third and one, the national reaction, including myself, was, what do you have a receiver
exactly.
in there?
Yes.
Right. But if you look close at it,
right.
Daniels, the nose guard, their nose guard Clark jumps around Daniels. And then Sewell, you know, our tight end, the safety on its third
totally
one, he pinches inside
safety.
And just runs across his face and hits him in the backfield. So, you know, I agree with Matt Nagy when he said it wouldn't have made any difference. Who was he said Walter Payton was a running back. He wasn't going to get the first down. And I agree with him because nobody was blocked there. But I think, you know, everybody wants to talk about that you know, the work that Mitch needs in the preseason. And I'm on board there. I mean, and I've never wavered from that. That's just philosophies, okay? Everybody does it their own way. But the offensive line, you know, I stand there at practice, and they've got their offensive line coach, Harry Heistead. I mean, he's a Tony Wise, come off the ball and hit you in the mouth. Kurt Ferentz, that's his mentality. And when you're just doing that against each other and you get a little of that brotherly love in there and you don't know when, I'll tell you what.
Not the same.
It's tough to get better, guys. It really is.
I think a couple of things that occurred to me when I was thinking about the run-pass ratio. I was thinking about Nagy talking in the post game about, I know what, he said something to the effect of, I know what happened there and it won't happen again. And what I took from that is that they were running RPO a lot. And the decision-making was wrong. And so when you're giving a guy, you're on a third and one, and you're letting a guy RPO, and he doesn't hand the ball off, and instead is throwing to the tight end, that's not the play they called necessarily, right? They're thinking that they're going to read what they're seeing, and maybe that's what he meant.
And he let us know.
Yes.
He let us know that the quarterback was changing some of those RPOs into passes,
which was bad.
I got a story for you on that one, too. When Matt Kavanaugh, you know, and I, obviously Matt worked here. He's with me. A pity he's down there with the Redskins now. Matt was the backup for Joe Montana for 9 years or whatever it was. You know, it wasn't nine, but long time. Three Super Bowls in San Francisco. And Matt was telling me, because we were talking, I says, I want to throw the ball down the field, Matt. I want to take three shots a half, deep balls. I don't give a darn if they're incomplete. We'll get a call. I want to throw. And he says, and I says, but I don't want the quarterback not liking it and checking out of it. He says, that's real simple. He says, Bill Walsh used to tell Joe Montana, throw it. He would just say, hey, Jerry Rice, you know, X takeoff and throw it. And that meant I don't care if they've got 15 guys back there covering them deep. I want you to throw the ball to them for big reasons. I carried that over with my defensive calls in because we would do a lot of pressures depending on the look of the offense.
Don't check out of it.
And sometimes I wanted to blitz. I didn't care. It was a desperate situation, whatever it was, red zone, down in distance, score, whatever. And we would make the call, and I used the signal, lock it. And if I said lock it, we're running that damn thing regardless of what they're doing or who's in the game. And I'm sure that's what Matt Nagy was referring to.
Yeah, that's kind of the takeaway.
And they need to lock into the running game more than they did, especially when you have a running back.
Oh, yeah.
Now, last night I sort of said this sort of flippantly, but I do believe it. The Raiders showed you how to use a rookie running back that you trust when they used Josh Jacobs. He was very good.
Yep.
Right, the Bears get-go. Need to find a way to use David Montgomery in a similar fashion.
And let me say this, and I've been very fortunate. I've been around some of the greatest backs that ever played this game, okay? And in our first Super Bowl, we went in at halftime, and Jimmy and Norv and I kind of huddle up in the tunnel, you know, and talk about big picture, the three of us, before we go in and break it down. That's just the way we did it. Talked about where we were going to eat nachos afterwards. And, you know,
where the Heineken was.
Was it cold? Jimmy wanted to know if it was cold. So we're standing there, and it's a Super Bowl, and Norv, looking at the halftime stats, I handed the stats, and Norv, you know, we were both in the press box, and we're down there, and Norv says, God, you know, Emmett's only averaging, I think it was 2-something a carry. It might have been 1-something, but it wasn't, yeah, and the game was close. And he says, boy, you know, I don't know, running the ball, Jimmy, we're having a tough time. You know, Emmett's only two yards a carry. Jimmy says, keep pumping him the ball. He says, wait till you see the stats at the end of the game. And I think he ended up 3 or 4, maybe 5 yards a carry at the end of the game. So my point is, I'm agreeing with you guys.
Yes.
Some of these running backs, and Ricky Williams, when I had him, was that way. I mean, we had to get them lathered up and get them going.
Absolutely.
So it's particularly when they haven't had much contact.
Right.
On top of it all.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Coach Wonstedt next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Dave Wonstedt hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 of the score. We are delighted to have Coach Wonstedt with us. And Dave, obviously, you know defense and you know it well, and you look around the NFC North and there are some pretty good defenses. There are some pretty good defensive coaches. You know, obviously, you got Chuck Pagano coming in here, but Mike Pettine had himself a really nice Thursday night. And, of course, you look at what's going on with Mike Zimmer. That guy knows his business. That team looked fantastic in that game. And Matt Patricia's a defensive guy. What matters most, Dave? Is it talent level? Is it scheming? And how do we apply that to Vic Fangio next Sunday?
Well, players win games, not coaches. Mm-hmm. So you got to have talent. I mean, that's the starting point. I think all those teams have some talent. You know, Green Bay's added some free agent players and a couple draft picks that are playing well. You know, the best thing that happened to Minnesota, I talked to somebody up there. Last year, Dalvin Cook was averaging like 11 touches a game. He had 22 touches on Sunday. I mean, you talk about making your quarterback situation a little better. You talk about making your defense better and more rested. I mean, that to me, what separated those teams in their victories, you know, the ones that won Minnesota, in you know, Green Bay could have lost, but I mean, Minnesota to me is the happiest right now because they played offense, defense, and they ran the ball, which they really haven't done. And you know Zimmer likes to do that. He came from Dallas. You know what I mean? Everywhere he's
makes
been
sense.
And had sense. I mean, it's all been
Dalvin
run.
Dalvin Cook's explosive. Dave, have to ask you about the Antonio Brown situation. Certainly he began the weekend as a Raider. He ends it as a Patriot. What were your thoughts about how that happened, and how do you think he'll fit in New England?
Well, you know, he's going to have to toe the line, you know, and do it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in there with Tom Brady and Belichick and, you know, a chance to win a Super Bowl and is on his best behavior, you know. But I would say this. Six years I was in Pittsburgh, I shared an office with Mike Tomlin, and we did charity events together, and our wives were – if you can't play for Mike Tomlin, you know, you can't play for him. And don't lose sight that it was week 17 last year, and they had the playoffs on the line, and they're playing the Bengals, and he no-shows them. I mean, does that just happen by accident? You're going to do that to your teammate and your head coach that's battled for you? So I can't get that out of my mind. I mean, it may be good for a little while, but I don't see it being a lasting relationship at all. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the greatest upset ever if it didn't.
Yeah.
That guy, it's gone from one kind of travesty to the next. Do you buy this idea that he was trying to get out of there and wanted to go to New England, and people are trying to sell this conspiracy theory? I just think maybe at the end, maybe the last 72 hours, they were in contact, but, you know, how do you do all that stuff?
Yeah,
it was nuts.
I think when all the fines started happening, you know what I mean? It was going to be $40,000, then it was $200,000.
Yeah.
I think that set him off. And his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, I mean, Drew will find a deal, you know?
Yeah.
That's always the case. So I'm sure that Belichick said, what's the deal? You know what I mean? And we'll take a look at
it. You ever coach anybody that high maintenance? Anybody that much of a diva?
Absolutely, but I won't get into it.
Well,
you had
Charles Haley.
Every team I coach. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, Lonzo Spellman, we had our hands full the last year or two here. So, I mean, every team has some of those players, but generally they come around. You would like to think so. You know, I don't know. This is difficult, and it's unusual because I think at New England you got to make two guys happy up there. It's just not Bill Belichick. You got to make sure that you're doing the right things for Tom Brady.
Even without him, did they look like the best team in week one to you?
Wow. I tell you what, I was all on the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love the Bears and I love the Steelers for a bunch of different reasons. And Tom Brady, I mean, what can you say? Those passes were just
ridiculous.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Number one, they were wide open. And number two, he didn't miss anybody, you know? It's very impressive. As impressive as I was with them, I was disappointed in my old Dolphins. How about that mess?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, really. I mean, they're rotating players in and out of the game. You know what I mean? The stories, and it's only going to get worse. There's no way this thing improves, you know? And starting Fitzmagic, I mean.
Have you ever seen a team in the NFL, like, openly tank?
No,
if that's what they're doing. Because it looks like that's what they're doing.
Yep.
And supposedly there's a bunch of players after that game calling their agent, get me out of here. And I don't think we've talked about this idea. We've seen it in baseball where you tank and then you try to rebuild that way. I don't think the NFL, how do you tank in the NFL?
Well,
you'll get someone killed.
Well, and here's the other side of the coin. I was involved in a rebuilding process, you guys know, with Dallas, where we had all these draft picks like Miami has now. I sat in that draft room right beside Jimmy Johnson and witnessed it all and heard it all and was involved in it all. And number one, you can have all the picks in the world. You got to pick the right guys.
Yeah.
And if your guys aren't there, excuse me, you got to be Jimmy was the best that probably ever the NFL ever had of making deals and trading down and trading up and getting more picks. I mean, if you sit there, the Raiders had 11. Yeah, the Raiders got 12 rookies on our team, but the Raiders kind of, to my mind last year, sat there and just took the guy who was the best guy at that position. If Miami doesn't, you got to maximize these picks.
Yeah.
How about if all these quarterbacks, they're going to take a quarterback? Tua gets hurt. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen.
Don't know.
And all of a sudden, your guy's not there. You know? Now what are you going to do? You've done all this and lost a year and you're back to Rosen or whoever.
Back to the Broncos for a moment, Dave. We watched Vic Fangio, and Mully said earlier in the show, and I think we talked about it. Vic Fangio looked a little bit out of his element. It takes a while to get used to being the guy on the sidelines as a head coach. The defensive coordinator comes down from the booth. You've been in that situation. Do you remember your first time when you did that?
Yeah.
And how long does it take before you become comfortable, you know, being the coach that you know that you are in those circumstances, because it is a whole new world?
Yeah, my first year, I called the defenses here as a head coach. I kind of did what Vic did, you know, and then I kind of, there's just so many other things. You know, you're back there at that time talking to a player, and all of a sudden they tap you on the shoulder and say, we got to make a decision on this fourth and one. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's
just a lot to it. It's you can do it. You know, you can do it. You know, I got away from it, obviously. But the big thing with Vic, everybody thinks, does he know Trubisky? Hey, they know as much what Vic's going to do in certain situations, what blitzes he likes, when he likes to blitz. And so I think that's a push. I don't think they can. The Bears are going to say, "Oh, we know Vic," or Denver's going to say, "Oh, Vic, you know Trubisky." I don't see that happening at all. I really think that's a push in this situation.
Dave, we'll let you go. Just as we sit here and reflect on that game last week, one of the things that you heard from people about the Bears, the possibility of regression, was this idea that takeaways are very difficult to get one year from to the next. And they had 36 last year. And then you go into that game and you walk away from that game and you think, well, there was one turnover in that game. Yep. And that was the interception that Mitch threw. And the Bears, as good as they played defensively and limiting a team to 10 points, you got to feel great about. They never got the ball. They never scored defensively as they did so often last year. How, you know, is that little hint of not being able to get the ball? Will you go into Denver and the ball be bouncing to you? Or how does that work when you
it might
fail?
Be. Turnovers, I always thought, was about speed and athletic players. I've been on teams where we didn't come up with any turnovers and did the same drills as we did on teams where we had a lot and we had a lot better players. So the turnovers will come. I believe that. You know, but that was a big part of this team's success last year, and they did a great job when they got the turnover of getting points off of it. So, I mean, you don't ever look at that, though. I never go into a game saying, oh, we're going to get two turnovers and get, you know, 10 points off of turnovers. So now, offensively, we just got to score 10. I mean, you know, and Matt Nagy's looking at it, too. Let's assume we don't get any turnovers. We got to be able to score 21 points to win, you know. How are we going to do that?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think this game in particular, this is almost a must-win for the Bears, as stupid as that sounds.
It is because
0-2 is a really bad start to a season.
And because of the opponent. I mean, it's beatable. They're beatable. This is the limited offense, and the defense not very good.
They're 19-1 in that building in September. I mean, it's a tough – you've played there, Dave.
Oh, yeah,
the air is thin, and I mean, it doesn't affect you making calls, but it certainly affects players.
Right. No, it's and the key is going to be Mitch getting his confidence, and I think they'll go back to what they did last year. Early, everybody was complaining about the short, high percentage throws. Can't they throw the ball down the field? Mitch got to throw the ball. But the thing that they were doing, they were making first downs and they were getting in those makeable third downs because he was completing those high percentage throws.
Getting in a rhythm, building confidence.
I think that's what they have to do. I think that's what Matt Nagy will come up and do. And they'll run the ball more this week.
Yeah, run the ball. Don't RPO. Don't let him make the decision. Do what you're talking about. Lock it in.
Yeah,
lock it.
I wish he would have run it more. And, wish he would have made a decision to not throw it, to keep it himself.
That would have worked better.
Because if that's the offense, and he's a good athlete, he can make some plays for this team running the football.
Dave, thanks a ton.
Thanks
it's always
here.
A joy. Great
All right, guys.
See you.
Good seeing you guys.
That's Coach Wannstedt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.